Good evening, everyone. Grab a hymn book, please. Turn to number 195. 195. Stand and sing Glory to His Name. 195.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Danny, pray for us, please. Amen. 231, follow on. 231.
Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me I would follow, follow on. Walking in the footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With His hand lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot frighten me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on.
Number 243, I am resolved. 243.
No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad I'm free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad I'm free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
I think Rusty's getting ready to dance. Be seated, please. He says, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith.
Amen.
And do what he willeth. That obedience that was spoken of last night, that's what we need to strive for in our lives. I do want to remind you again, Ben, Dan had mentioned the meeting Wednesday night, the school board meeting. That is at 6 o'clock. He says the discussion period should start about 10 after 6. And so if you wanted to be there, you should be able to make it here in time for church afterwards as well. But something I thought about, and he agreed this would be a good thing, if you want to send an email to the entire school board stating your beliefs on that or position on this thing, and it's mentioned in there the gender identity and the sexual orientation in the collective bargaining agreement in your email, and that certainly a body in front of them means more, but at least if you sent the email, if they get a bunch of emails about this could have some effect too. So I would encourage you at least do that. You know, if you can be there and still be here at 7, then that's fine too. But this is an important issue. And thank God for men like Dan that are willing to serve in this capacity and stand up for what's right, even when it's uncomfortable to do so. Right? Amen. So pray for him Wednesday night, 6 o'clock there, and then 7 o'clock here. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to number 224. 224, stand and sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Our song shall rise. saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns of the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
You know, there was a time when that hymn was announced. I don't feel that way anymore. In fact, the older I get in the Lord, the more this hymn means to me. And I think of that second verse. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. The picture that's illustrated by that, you think about that, as those heavenly creatures fly throughout heaven crying, holy, holy, holy. And it says the 24 elders fall on their face and cast their crowns at his feet. What a time that's going to be. Amen. To be able to adore him without the impediment of sin that we face here on this earth. Amen. So I hope if your feeling about that hymn is what mine used to be, maybe that'll spark a little bit of more interest in it next time you sing it. 341.
Amen.
And it's because we have victory in Jesus, we can participate in that event.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Precious blood's atoning,
as I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me. Victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his precious power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my
broken spirit.
And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. pathway to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
And before Rusty breaks out in dancing, we better sit down. I love him more each day. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. What a gracious and merciful God we have. Oh, how we ought to desire to please and serve him more faithfully every day. Amen?
Amen.
Been good already. And so much appreciate this brother.
Amen.
And his preaching, his heart. And he even likes me. Amen? Come, brother, please try.
She makes you look good, brother.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening, church family. Amen. One of my favorite little sayings when people ask how Deb is doing, and you know, when they meet my wife, I love to tell them, you know, I outran my coverage when I got Deb. Amen. And that's an old football term. I got the best end of that deal. And you know, scripture says that though, doesn't it? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Never says it the other way. It's only that way. Amen. Amen. Well, a blessing to have everybody tonight. How many of you need a handout? Maybe I missed getting that out. Everybody have a handout. If you need one, just slip your hand up real quickly. Brother Chad, I think you've got all the handouts back there. All right. And or pen. So, all right. I want to say thank you for your hospitality. Wonderful meal tonight with your pastor. Miss Eileen really cooked up a good one and loved it. And a blessing to enjoy fellowship. You know, really, when you get saved, the family expands. I said it the other night. The family expands, and everywhere I go, I meet others who know the Lord as Savior, and what a difference that makes. And we automatically have something and someone in common. But especially enjoy your pastor and his wife. And how many years have you pastored here, brother? 23. Amen. So a blessing. Recognize that's a gift from God. A lot of churches out there, pastors don't stay that long. Amen. So to have that same man, some of you say, well, he's been here too long already, you know. And yet you come back. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2 is where we'll be tonight, but I want to go back. I'll let you remain seated. I want to go back to verse 23 to bring context into chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where I'll start in verse 23. I want to remind you, come back tomorrow night. Email people and encourage them to come tomorrow night. It's a message you don't want to miss. It's going to be very practical, very helpful. So much so, again, I want to just mention this. The outline that I give you, you will probably, after you fill it out, slide it into the flyleaf of your Bible. You will probably use it for every single day the rest of your Christian life. It's just that practical. It's a daily practical help. And so please come back tomorrow night. If you look around and say somebody's not here, encourage them to come as well because they'll use it for sure. 1 Peter chapter 1, look with me in verse number 23. It notes these individual standings. They've been saved, and look at how the Word of God frames that. In 1 Peter 1:23, he said, being born again, have the idea of being born again, born from above, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now watch chapter 2. These first three verses will be our focus tonight. Wherefore, remember I mentioned last night when you see a wherefore, it's usually referencing something just prior. In this case, the wherefore is because you've been born again. Because you're saved, notice, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now watch how he bookends this. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, yesterday morning we looked at an incorruptible salvation in chapter 1. You and I as believers enjoy through an unbelievable Savior, his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then last night we looked at an unmistakable command. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And we saw holiness and godliness were synonymous, God-likeness. What would Jesus do? That should be what you and I do. That would be godliness. Amen? Amen. But then tonight I want to look at an irrefutable correlation. If you have your pens, let's just fill in those first few blanks, and then we'll pray together and move quickly into the thought. What is the irrefutable correlation that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3? It's this, that spiritual growth, and you could say spiritual health, they're directly tied to your appetite. That spiritual growth and health are directly tied to your appetite. In other words, you are what you say it. Eat. Say that again. You are what you eat. Amen? This is the irrefutable correlation we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the honor, privilege to be in your house and with your people on a chilly day. A chilly evening, Lord, how we rejoice in the warmth that we enjoy, the person of your Son, your Holy Spirit, the songs that have been sung, Lord, the fellowship we enjoy. And now as your word goes forth, preaching and being taught, we pray, Father, you would, through your Spirit, apply it to hearts. And then, Lord, help us to say yes to you, not to be hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us by your grace to be doers of your word. May we understand this irrefutable correlation that our spiritual growth and our spiritual health as your people, it'll all be tied directly to our appetite. We will be what we eat. And we pray that you'd use this message tonight in every heart, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The irrefutable correlation I find here is that spiritual growth and health are directly tied to your appetite. In other words, you are what you eat. We're looking at three things tonight. Number one, I want to look at our condition. It is a new condition. Notice it says in verse number 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, here comes the new condition, as newborn babes. Amen? As newborn babes. We notice a new condition is noted here. And these people are newborn babes, fill the blank in, which simply means this, we like them have been born again. Amen? Yeah. We've been born again. You say, well, how did that occur? Well, verse 23 says it, being born again, chapter 1, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And notice what birthed us again into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, the day you got saved, you became a newborn babe. You were born again. You were born again by the word of God. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Scripture is very clear on that. And you and I need to recognize the relationship the Word of God has with lost people and its ability to open their eyes, to cause them to see who they are, who God is, who Jesus is, and to bring them to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know, many times I find myself trusting my ability to explain things. There's some illustration to help a lost sinner understand. Let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will do a far better job than you and I will through our words and our ideas. You know, when I got saved back in 1980, the first group of people that got on my heart was my family. I went home on leave a few months later, and as I stepped off that jet, Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, full-dress blues with a Bible under my arm, very odd to see a Marine pack in that kind of heat, you know what I mean? But I remember as I met the family that night afterwards, I sat them down and I shared the gospel with them, a 2-foot by 3-foot piece of cardboard in the cliffs, and a man separated from God by the gulf of sin. Took an hour and a half and just explained scripture to them and how to be saved. One by one, they began to trust the Lord. 8 years later, my dad finally came to the Lord. Amen. You know what a lot of people don't know is in that 8 years, and I was there that day, a Sunday morning service, a preacher preached a message called "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And he hung my dad out over hell. Dad was odd man out. Mom was saved. I was saved. My wife, Deb, was saved. Two of the grands were saved. Dad's listened to this message, and that preacher for 25 minutes just preached what that separating process is going to look like on Judgment Day, the lost being separated from the saved, the wails, the screams. Dad was odd man out. Boy, when they gave that invitation, I'll never forget, my mom tugged up my sleeve, said, "Your father's gone forward." I said, "Praise the Lord." One of my best friends met him and said, "Mr. Sommerdorf, what are you here for?" And I'll never forget, he told me afterwards, he said, "I need to be saved." And I watched a proud German engineering dad take a knee, trust Christ as Savior. Passed away last year. He's more alive now than he's ever been. But you know what's interesting? You and I would say, "Well, that preacher, man, that was the message. That's how God did it." You know, for that 8 years between when Dad heard the gospel and when he took a knee and trusted Christ as Savior, he read this Bible through 2 complete times from cover to cover. He went from Genesis to Revelation methodically twice. And I don't know why. Maybe he was trying to prove his kid wrong. You know, maybe he's just trying to figure it out. I don't know. But Dad went through the Bible 2 full complete times. And when he got saved that morning, yeah, that old preacher had a piece of it. But I want to tell you something. That was the result of tangling with the Word of God in a very exhaustive way for 8 full years. Dad, I believe, had he not gotten in the Word of God, I don't think Dad would have gotten saved. I think he was prepared to hear that truth because he'd been in the Word of God. Amen? So I'm just saying, you and I talk to people all the time. We can't figure it out. What do I tell them? Just give them the Word. You say, "Well, I don't understand." You know, I've had people say, "Well, I don't understand it." Read it again. "Well, I still don't understand." Read it again. "Well, I still don't understand." Read it again. This is a spiritual book. And salvation is of the Lord. It's not of intellect. It's a spiritual birth, amen? And you have to use spiritual weapons, and the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And you got to use this if you're going to get people to the King and to the kingdom, amen? Amen? So if you're here tonight and you say, "Wow, I struggle, I just don't know," get in the Word. You let God speak to you through His Word, amen? Let Him tell you if you belong to Him or not. This is the book, amen? And so we were born again by the Word of God. It was the agency that God used, this book, to get us to understand salvation and to birth us into the kingdom. I noted here, in other words, you and I, if you were to study this out in Ephesians 2, we were quickened with Christ. We were made alive. Our dead spirit's now alive, amen? And 1 John 5 says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right, the spirit, the new birth is a spiritual birth. It's a quickening of the dead spirit, and we're now born again through the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Son of God. Amen. But notice here, when you receive the Son and receive life, when you and I experience that new condition, we now are newborn babes, with it came a new conflict. Look at that second point. With it came a new conflict. And it was a twofold conflict. Peter addresses this. First, there was a conflict that was outward. It was a conflict that was horizontal out with the world and others that weren't saved. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter notes this conflict to these new believers, and I'm sure they understood it very well. Many of them had paid a horrible price getting saved, and they had come under great persecution. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look what's said in verse 12. This conflict, it was twofold. First, there was an outer conflict. He said, beloved, 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. All right, you know the day you and I got saved, we received that, we entered into a new relationship, a new condition. Suddenly there was a new conflict that showed up. And the first one, it was an outer conflict, amen? Guys that were your friends aren't your friends now. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I thought all my classmates would love to get saved. Jesus was the best thing that happened to me. Why wouldn't they want him? Boy, I found out real quickly. They didn't see it that way. You know what I'm saying? And suddenly I noticed that the world was against me. Man, the world was my buddy for years. I mean, I loved everything about the world. And now that I'm saved, it's in conflict with me. You know what I'm saying? The things that I once enjoyed now grieve me. Y'all with me? So when you and I get saved and get that new condition, the new birth, recognize with it comes a new conflict. And this new conflict is twofold. First, there's an outer battle that begins to take place between the world, the powers of darkness, y'all with me? And those things that we were saved from. But second of all, there's an inner conflict also. Peter taps this. Look with me in 1 Peter in chapter 2. Look at what he says here in verse number 11. He notes this in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Dearly beloved," there's that phrase again, speaking to a saved person, "I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims," look at this, "abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." You know, you see an inference here. Not only is this battle outer, but there's an inner battle that's taking place too. Amen. The old nature has cravings and desires. Amen? Amen? Go to Romans 7 and watch how the Spirit of God through Paul really explains. I'm setting the table for something here, so stay with me. This is very important. You got to understand this conflict. Look in Romans 7. And notice here in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Paul describes in great detail the inner battle now that's raging, now that he's saved. Look at what he says in Romans 7:18. "For I know that in me," and then he identifies specifically what it is, "that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Notice this battle. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law," a principle, if you will, "that when I would do good, evil is still present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And look at this anguished cry. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he gives the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Notice how Paul describes the inner battle here that's raging within him. And you say, well, what is that battle? What is that inner conflict? Write this in your notes. It's the flesh versus the spirit. Amen? It's the flesh versus the spirit. Write that down. Or you could say it this way. It's the carnal side of you fighting against the spiritual side of you. Amen? It's the, you could say it a third way, the old nature fighting this new nature in Jesus Christ. This quickened spirit that was once dead that's now alive, it's inside of a tabernacle of flesh that still has cravings and desires. And there's an inner conflict and battle that takes place the day you and I get saved. Did you, have you experienced that? Remember, you get saved and you think, okay, man, this is great. And then, you know, you sin. Uh-oh. Oops. Now what? You know what I mean? Well, I thought I was saved. Why am I sinning? You know? Now, here's the thing I've come to recognize. When you and I get saved, we may not be sinless, but we will sin less. We have one who's greater who's in us, right? And there's a desire now to move toward righteousness. But what a struggle. The baggage we often come into our Christianity with, habits we've developed, you know what I'm saying? Appetites that we have fed for who knows how long, and just the good old-fashioned heart that's still deceitful, and it's desperately wicked, and it wants to be worshipped, does not want to worship and yield to God. Amen? A Native American chief, an Indian chief of the Old West had gotten saved. Newly saved, somebody asked him to describe what was going on in his life now that he had become a believer. And he said this, he said, I find a white dog and a black dog inside of me fighting for control. And when he was asked which one wins, his answer was simply this, the one I feed the most. Flip your notes, because I want to make a statement here that's going to help you as we move into the thought that I think is going to be very challenging tonight. Because you and I, like these new believers in Peter, 1 Peter, we may not be under incredible persecution, but we've been born again. We've been quickened with Christ, and we need to recognize as they had a new conflict, we do too, outwardly and also inwardly. Here's the statement I want to make. It's no mistake that the Spirit of God uses the word birth to describe salvation. Amen? He uses, he could have used all kinds, he uses other illustrations, but except he, a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen? So the new birth is a spiritual birth, and that's what salvation is. It's a new birth. It's a quickening of the dead spirit, being made alive, birthed again in the kingdom of heaven. He uses that for, I believe, for this reason. Number one, it's irreversible. Amen? You didn't get intermittent life, you got eternal life. The day he saved you, he didn't give you probation. He gave you salvation. All right? Not a license to sin, but a license to serve. But I believe the new birth paints something in a picture of mine. Look at the statement I made. Like the new birth, like a physical birth, the new birth, salvation, is an instantaneous event. Now, some of you dear ladies that went through labor will say, well, that didn't feel too instantaneous, you know? But, I mean, in light of 90 years, that was very instantaneous, okay? And the new birth does have labor. There's grieving. There's understanding. You know what I'm saying? It isn't like, oh, but you just don't diddy-bop into that. I mean, there's conviction. But it's, by and large, an instantaneous event. Amen? Amen? So the new birth is an instantaneous event, salvation. But here's the statement I want to look at. But spiritual growth and maturity is a lifelong pursuit. Amen. You see that in the notes? Salvation is an instantaneous event. Just like a birth, it's just a short amount of, and they're life-changing. But also like a physical birth, maturity and growth is a lifelong pursuit. Dad and Mom, did you notice when that little one showed up that a week later they weren't graduating from high school? Did you notice that? In fact, people say, oh, I'm glad that's over. Oh, we have only just begun. Amen? You know, and too often in our movement, all we do is aim for salvation and up, now we're done. Oh no, you have just begun. Yeah, the Great Commission is often today a great omission We do not train them and disciple them and teach them all things that they ought to be taught. Amen? So really, in many ways, when you see someone get saved, you need to go ahead and roll your sleeves up and realize you have work ahead of you as you disciple them and help them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, if salvation is an instantaneous event, and I believe it is, and spiritual growth and maturity, they're lifelong pursuits, you will not instantly be everything you ought to be 2 days after you're saved. Notice in light of this, go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, not a lengthy message, but I want to give this to you. The Holy Spirit of God instructs these new converts that are newly saved how to have spiritual success and victory, how to grow to maturity in the midst of persecution. And so he gives a command, and it's a twofold command. Watch with me, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Here comes the two commands. Wherefore, because you're saved, you're born again, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Twofold command. Number one, he gives this command, discard. And number two, he gives a second command, desire. Notice it's a two-step process. This maturing is a twofold process. Number one, his first command is discard. Look at what he says in verse one. Wherefore, laying aside, that has the idea of discarding, all malice. What is malice? Anybody know? What's malice? Anybody care? It's the desire to get even. You did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. You cut me off in traffic. You know, it happened to me today. I'm driving along, just minding my business, going 2 over the speed limit, and a guy's right on my fanny. You know? He's not happy I'm going slow.
It wasn't me.
No. I was following you. You about lost me coming to church.
I always slow down.
That's malice, brother. Okay, I just want you to know. Okay, you just, thank you. All right, you're totally with me. That's where I was. I was getting malicious, and I wanted to just slow her down to about 20, you know. And then when they go to pass, you know, that's malice, the desire to get even. Somebody does something wrong, you want to get back at them. Y'all with me? That's malice. He says, lay aside all malice. How much malice? All. Rats. I thought we could have some. All. Laying aside all malice. Then he goes on to say this, and all guile. You can write this in your notes. All guile, that's craftiness and deceitfulness. And hypocrisies, false pretenses, feigning to be something you're not. And envies, that's being upset at somebody else's prosperity, superiority, or happiness. And also, here comes the big one, all what? Evil speakings. What is that? That's slander or defamation. Listen to what these people are being told to lay aside. Listen to what they're being told to lay aside if they want to grow spiritually. The desire to get even, deceitfulness, false pretenses, faking to be something they're not, getting upset at someone else's prosperity, superior happiness, and slander or defamation. You know what? They had social media back then. That is absolutely a description of social media today. Amen? What is social media? Drama, drama, drama. Y'all with me? Shut the drama off. God says this, discard the drama. Amen? You set that all aside. You discard it. And then notice in its place what you're supposed to fill that void with. He says instead, verse 2, as newborn babes now desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I want to say tonight as we move into this thought, I am fascinated by this order. He does not say the word of God first. He says, discard some things first, and then you'll have room for my word. Amen? Now, you say, well, that's just a one-off. Is it really? Watch this pattern in the New Testament. It's all through the New Testament. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Very, very familiar text, just a few pages earlier. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and look at the command here as you and I are to run our race for Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says this in verse 1, wherefore? Seeing we also, Hebrews 12, 1, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there's the same two words, let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and then let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Looking unto Jesus. Notice, his first command is lay it aside. Then look unto Jesus. Amen? He doesn't reverse that order. Look with me how he brings us up even more so. Romans chapter 13. Watch this. In Romans chapter 13, look at what he says here. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. He says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Watch verse 12 now, Romans 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now watch how he says this. Let us therefore, what words are those? Cast off. Wow, that brings it to another level. Laying aside kind of has the idea. You just kind of set it there. Amen? Still within reach. But you know what cast off has the picture? Man, you're tossing it away. Amen? And what are you supposed to cast off? Notice, cast off the works of darkness, and then in its place, put on the armor of light. That's found in Ephesians. Amen? Armor up. And notice the ultimate one we put on, verse 14, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. This is very important. I know Christians that struggle with spiritual maturity. They struggle with growth. Man, they're trying to memorize the Word of God. They're reading the Word of God, all kinds of stuff. But you know what? They just don't let some things go first. You know what I know about the old man? The old you before you got saved? Your old habits? That was a form-fitted uniform. It was yours. Y'all with me? Your habits, your attitudes, your priorities, all of it, that was yours. Y'all with me? There wasn't room for another identity. And then you get saved and God wants to change your identity, right? From sinner to saint. And you know what you got to do? You got to take the one off if you want to put the other one on. Amen. Y'all with me? You know what this is? This is repentance. This is seeing that old uniform for what it really is. I remember a guy named Jim Burton. He was a sailor, newly saved with me up there at Whidbey Island. He had something that was old he would never let go of. It was his car. It was his car. His car was a fetish to him. Y'all with me? He had done things in there when he was lost. That car he almost worshiped. And Jim Burton would never let that car go. He couldn't. And I watched him just stagnate spiritually. Y'all with me? Could I get an amen there? Listen, you, before you were saved, had an identity. You had an opinion of who you were. And you had a certain self. You with me? And you know what the Lord is saying? Now that you're saved, I own you. And I don't want you to be like you. I want you to be like me. I want you to be like my son. And you're going to have to just let some things go and cast them aside to make room for what I have in place of it. And you want to get frustrated in your Christianity, go live in the past. Go ahead and not let bitterness go, not let wrath go, not let hurts go. Y'all with me? And I've often thought, why don't some people just throw it off? I'll tell you why. Because victimhood brings leverage. victimhood brings leverage. What do I mean by that? When you're a victim, you can get people to feel sorry for you and give you a pass. Now, don't get me wrong. Bad things happen. I'm not trying to minimize that. Y'all with me? Don't go there. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to have a story of being a victim, Jesus has a bigger one. Nobody got more wrong than him. And he's not a bitter savior. He's a sweet savior. Y'all with me? And you know, you just need to learn this. In Jesus Christ, you're no longer a victim. You're a victor. And you need to let some of that old identity go and quit sometimes using it to leverage people to feel sorry for you and give you a pass on why you aren't growing up in Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that's tough to say, isn't it? But if you're going to tell me how you've been wrong, oh, I've got some stories too. Y'all with me? Welcome to this mud ball, this sinful place that isn't heaven. Amen? Yeah. You get your eyes off of that and never allow something that happened to you become bigger than what Jesus did for you.
Yes.
You get your eyes on him. Amen? I'm giving you good advice. Amen. I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm saying you got to cast some things off that old identity and quit always going back and retelling the story. I've talked to people and you get to hear the story over and over and over, and finally says, you know, that's it. That's your identity. You just don't want a different identity than that. Yeah. That's not right. Because God saved you out of that miry pit. He didn't leave you there. You all with me? And you know, maybe we need to read stories like Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Maybe we need to see what really happens to people who've really been wronged. You know what I'm saying? And just see how sweet they become and how God uses them, uses that tragedy to give them triumphant life in Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Watch how this continues. Notice with me in Ephesians 4, watch this. The putting off and then the putting on. It's a two-step process if you want to grow. In Ephesians 4, look at what's said in verse number 22. Ephesians 4, 22. Here it is again. That she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put him off. And notice in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that ye put on the new man. Amen. Notice you got to put the one off before you can put the new one on. Which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. And look at what you're to put off in verse 25. He itemizes it. Put away lying. Put away anger, verse 26. Put away, verse 28, theft. Verse 29, put away corrupt communication that comes out of your mouth. And then notice how he sums it up in verse 31. Let all, here he comes, all full circle. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. That has the idea of getting divorced. Put away from you with all malice. And then notice in its place, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice this two-step process. That first step is a putting off. And when you do that, you make room for what can now be put on in its place. Amen?
Amen?
And you know, all of us have things that we just need to let go of. Maybe they're sinful habits, a sin we just think we can't live without. You know what I mean? Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's pride. That's one extreme. And then maybe it's the idea, I have no worth. You got to put that off. If you were worthless, then why did Jesus choose to die for you?
Right. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I have a little song that I sing in one of our recordings of children. When I get to that pity party, or maybe I've been hurt or wronged, or I'm discouraged, and you think, oh, that never happens. Hey, I'm not as spiritual as you think I am, okay? And you're not as spiritual as you want me to think you are either. So we're in this thing together. But this is my little song. Maybe you've heard it. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Keep thine hand upon me, lest I die. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. Now there's a second verse. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. For your blood has set my soul completely free. Now I'll live for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. And then you repeat the first verse as the final. Has anybody ever heard that before? Yep, our children sing it. Obviously, you never bought any of their music. Okay, I get it, all right? And it doesn't offend me. No, once in a while, I'll be cruising down through the Carolinas, and one radio station has all seven of the recordings on there, and I'll hear them on Fundamental Broadcasting Network, FBN, and kids will be singing, and that's one of my favorite songs. You know, if you're saved, you're the apple of a father's eye. Amen? And he doesn't want to leave you where he found you. He wants you to move you to Christ likeness, but you got to let some things go, the mud and the miry clay. You just need to put those off, turn from them. That's not your identity now, and go ahead and be clothed with a whole new identity. Amen? Go to Colossians 3 and watch how he says this. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 3. He says in Colossians 3, verse number 8, he comes right out. He's speaking about maturity here. And he says in verse 8 of Colossians 3, but now ye also put off all these. There's that discard again. And notice the list. Anger, wrath, malice. There's malice again. Notice blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And look at verse 12. Put on, after you put off, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Here's what you and I are now to put in place of what used to be there. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbear one another and forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the glue. Notice that process again. He says, put off this, all of this, and now you'll have room for the new uniform, the new things that take that place. If you don't put some things off, you will not have room for what God wants to put on you. Amen? They're both form-fitted uniforms. Jesus died personally for you. He's got exactly this for you. And just as much as your old life was exactly your uniform, and they're form-fitted, you can't have them both. You got to put off one and turn from it and turn your eyes on Jesus for the other one. Amen? Amen? Now watch this as we close tonight. For in Colossians 3, look at how he, just like 1 Peter chapter 2, comes full circle now. And look at what he says in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then look at this. Here it comes back to you are what you eat. And let the word of Christ, that's the word of God, dwell in you, what's the word? Richly. And notice, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wow, notice he comes back, and he tells you to put off all of this and then put on these things. Notice one of the things that he wants you then to be immersed in is his word. You know, as I close tonight, what I see here is a pattern, and it's this: discard the drama, and then in its place, desire God's word. I like to say it this way: go ahead and turn from and turn to, ring out, if you will, ring out the carnal, and then soak up the spiritual. Amen? How many of you remember the sponge? All right, since my hand goes right out. Boom. Anybody else? Anybody else remember the sponge? All right, got a few principles of the sponge. This is one of my favorite illustrations. It hunts every single time. In your notes, I wrote three principles of the sponge. Three simple principles. It doesn't matter the size, shape, or color of the sponge. All sponges operate the same way. Principle number one is, if you really want to find out what's in a sponge, you don't look at it. what do? Squeeze it. When you squeeze it, you're going to find out what's really there. Amen? If I want to find out how full of God you are, I don't look at you when everything's going tickety-boo. Everything's fine. Oh, look at them. They're full of joy. Oh, no, 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 no. I wait to see what comes out of you when you get squeezed. Amen? And the world's full of sponge squeezers. Could I get a witness there? Amen? First place you're going to find them? On the road. All right? You think it's bad driving your PT boat. Go ahead and cruise around in an aircraft carrier or a motorhome like I live in. Been in for 25 years. I'm going to tell you, when you put your blinker on to change lanes, that tells everybody in that lane you want to go to, don't let him in and get caught behind him, and they speed up. I remember times we'd be cruising along, and could I just say this? If the motorhomes are passing you, you're going too slowly. Because it's old gaffers driving them, okay? So don't be in the left lane and let a motorhome pass you on the right. That's not good, all right? And I'd be cruising along in the motorhome, and I got six kids, four girls and two boys, and I'd start getting a little fussy. And the kids would say, what's the matter, Dad? And there'd be some slowpoke in the left lane. And you know what I would say? It's a woman driver. Oh, yeah. See, you came to church, get your sponge squeezed there, ladies. Now, when you got four girls in your family, two boys, you know what happens when you pass them on the right? They are plastered at that window looking to see who's driving the slow car. And how many times I would hear it, we'd go past and the girls would say, it's a guy, Dad, it's a guy. Well, a skipper can't go down like that. So without missing a beat, I'd say, yeah, it's a guy driving like a girl. That's all I'd say. So first of all, some of you ladies are about ready to say, I'm taking that offering back out of the plate that I put. There are sponge squeezers out in traffic, amen? I'm going to say this, preachers can squeeze the sponge. They know how to squeeze. Preacher, church members know how to squeeze your sponge, amen? Parents, children know how to squeeze your sponge. Could I get a witness there? Oh, them little devils. And teenagers, parents know how to squeeze your sponge too, don't they? Mm-hmm. Politicians know how to wring it out. Amen. Bosses know how to squeeze a sponge. Employee, you can go on. The world's full of sponge squeezers. Here's the thing. The first thing to recognize about a sponge is if you really want to know what's in it, just squeeze it. Amen. You really want to find out how spiritual you are, squeeze you. Number two, here's a real profound one. A sponge only picks up what you put it in.
Yeah.
All right, you see that in the notes? I mean, if I wanted to pick up something from over here, I don't put it in something over here. All right? And then here's the third one. Every sponge has a saturation rate, saturation point. Once it's saturated and full, it doesn't matter what you put it in. It's not picking it up and retaining it. Amen? So we're the sponge. This is you. This is me. Some of us, pretty good likeness right there. Pretty bland, right? All right? We're cruising along. We're lost. We're heading to a place called hell, then a lake of fire, and we hear the joyful cry, Jesus saves. And we trust him, and he buys us back, and he points us toward heaven, but we're not there yet. We can pause and park. Amen? We can stop in things and soak them up. And in America, we got lots of options to park in as American believers. And so here's what I watch people do. I watch people who are saved spend hours watching movies and television, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 hours a week. I watch our young people immersed in social media, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 hours a week. Y'all with me? I watch some guys when the football season comes, oh, they'll watch every game. I mean, 4.5 hours each game. They watch 7 or 8 games. Boom, 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 boom. Y'all with me? Soaking in the world, soaking in everything. Soak, 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 soak. And then they come to the house of God. They hear a 35, 40-minute message from the Word of God. They're dripping full of everything, unspiritual, and they get nothing out of it and have the nerve to say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, how could you? You were dripping full of everything but God. You got no room for this. Preaching is something you just tolerate because you're full of yourself and everything else. Y'all with me? You need to go ahead and let God wring you out and then fill you with his word. Amen? You know how your phone will tell you how much screen time you do? How many of you, excuse you, you know? Do you have that on yours? Amen? I wonder what would happen if you just marked down where you spend your free time. How much is in the Word of God? How much of it's television? How much of it phone? How much of it's gaming? How much, y'all with me? Social media? Wonder where the values would be. See, it works the other way. You can get in the Word of God and read it, memorize it, fill yourself with the things of God, and then when you go out in the world, you just don't have room for all that other stuff. You're filled with spiritual things. Amen? Amen. You're filled with spiritual things. Amen. Where today in your free time did you park your heart? Where'd you park it? Was it the Word or was it the world? God is saying, ring out the world. Soak up my word. You don't have room for my word if you don't first ring out the world and cast things off and push things away and make room for God. Amen? Amen. So go back and we'll read this and we're done tonight. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The irrefutable correlation, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. Your spiritual growth and health will be directly tied to your appetite. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this thought. And Lord, as we consider this simple truth, Lord, I pray for every one of the individuals, every brother or sister here tonight, saved and their faith has found a resting place in Jesus Christ alone. I pray, Father, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of their Savior. Help them to cast off and lay aside and set aside things, weights and sins that often so easily beset. And then, Lord, in their place, I pray that they would soak up your word. They'd be much about spiritual things. Help us to put off the old, put on the new. Lord, help us to recognize we can't do both. We cannot keep both. We have to choose which one we want. And so help us to put off those things. Could be anger, wrath, malice, bitterness, envy, evil speakings. Lord, could be activities that just aren't godly. Could be weights. They're not necessarily sinful. They're just not necessary. Lord, help us to set aside things. The quietness of the moment, point those things out to us. Help us to be willing to let them go. To just let them go, Father. And then in their place, help us, Lord, to fill ourselves with your word that we may grow thereby. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. And what page number do you have, sis? 155. Music playing softly. Just a moment. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What's the Lord telling you to put off? What's he telling you to let go of? Lay it aside. And then what's the Lord challenging you to do with his word? And here's my final question. Which dog are you feeding the most? Which dog are you feeding the most? Sing softly. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Fill with. While I am yielded and still. One more verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being. Hold o'er my being. absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me. All of God's people said, I mean, you come back tomorrow night, Pastor, if you could, dismiss us in prayer. Keep warm, stay safe. But when tonight you close things down, you quietly turn in for the evening, pause to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to set aside? Amen. What do you want me to just cast off? And then, Lord, which dog am I feeding the most? Is it the old one or is it the new one? Lord, fill me with your word. You just ask him. I'll tell you this. He'll point it out if you ask him. He's real faithful to do that. Pause to ask and then obey. Pastor.
It's been good. Every message is spoken to my heart. Let God continue to work in your hearts through the rest of the week. This is important. I'm really sad that we missed our meeting last fall with Brother Smith, and we've needed this. Yes. So bring somebody with you tomorrow night, and prepare your own hearts for tomorrow night as well. Yes. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, may we be willing to let you have your way in our lives. Amen. Your way in putting off what is unpleasing to you in our lives, and your way in putting on the things which are pleasing unto you. God, thank you for this brother. Thank you for the message, the messages, and just prepare his heart for tomorrow night as well. Amen. And Wednesday night. God, we love you tonight. We thank and praise you for who you are and for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.